Oh, no. There's four or five places in the New Testament that talk about the Spirit of Jesus or the Spirit of God's Son. And then it was just beginning that something God was beginning to speak to me. What does the Spirit of God's Son or the Spirit of Jesus cry out? Because when we receive salvation, we receive it by receiving God's Son and believing on His name. To those who received Him, to those who believed on His name, gave you the right to become the children of God. So when we receive Christ as Savior, we receive the Spirit of Jesus. And what is that Spirit of Jesus? If we receive Christ, we should have the same Spirit of Christ. And in the book of Galatians and the book of Romans, it talks about the Spirit of Jesus, which cries out, Abba, Father.
Nice.
So we should have the same, if we receive Him, we should have the same Spirit as He does that cries out, Abba, Father.
Amen.
And also the Spirit of Jesus is a Spirit that calls out that He is a bridegroom and has passion for the bride.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we have the Spirit of Jesus, we have a Spirit that's passionate about marriage. Passionate about marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the spirit of Abba Father, Jehovah God, He has a different spirit that's uniquely a father's heart toward children.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Living God, the Holy Spirit has a spirit of counsel, a spirit of revelation, a spirit of teaching, a spirit of comfort. So each person in the Trinity, in the Godhead, has a heart and a spirit that is unique to that person of the Godhead. So when we are saved, we receive Jesus and we receive His Spirit, and we have a spirit that's like His Spirit because He indwells us.
Nice.
So the heart of the bridegroom and the heart of a son that cries out, Abba, Father. So
nice.
It was just this beginning of something, you know, that God's beginning to show me.
That is really cool. So the Spirit of Jesus is the spirit of a bridegroom, and so the Spirit of Jesus produces a passion for marriage. Because
absolutely.
The bridegroom is to have a passion for his bride. Wow, so the Spirit of Jesus could be concurrent with us with a passion for marriage, and of course, God is love. So, I mean, this is all very scriptural. There's nothing weird here. You know, this is very scriptural because, you know, God is love. And
right.
So the Spirit of Jesus, He is the bridegroom, and He's passionate for His bride. So the Spirit of Christ that we should have in us is a spirit that is passionate for marriage, like Jesus is passionate. Wow, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's John 1:12 that talks about, it, you know, if you're going to be a child of God, you have to receive Him. That's John 1:12. Romans chapter 8 and Galatians 4 talk about the spirit of God's Son, the Spirit of Jesus, as well as three or four other places in the New Testament talk about the Spirit of Jesus, Paul talks about. And then in John 3, you know, John the Baptist states that he's the friend of the bridegroom, and he hears the bridegroom's voice. And what is the voice calling out? The voice of the bridegroom. And so, you know, when we receive Christ, we should have His same spirit. And that's why the other night, you know, when you were talking to that gentleman, you know, and about are you really saved? You know, you would look, if you have received Christ into your heart, you would look like something.
Yeah.
You would look like the one that you received. You would have the same spirit, the same passionate spirit of Jesus if you've truly received Him.
Yeah.
That's why
it's really
go ahead.
That's awesome. And I'm not sure, we're getting a feedback. Can I cap your ear today? Hang on one second. You're muted? Okay. That is just an awesome word, revelation, and thought, and nugget, man, of, you know, Jesus is passionate. I mean, so everything He did was to get a bride. His whole purpose on earth was to get a bride. And if we've got the same spirit in him, we want to get our bride. And we want to have, we want to be in love with our bride, just like Jesus is in love with his bride. Hello. Oh, that is really good. There's some life there. There's some life there, Josh. That is awesome. That is a life.
Oh, I mean, church was nothing but the Holy Ghost tonight. Wow, it was powerful.
That was wonderful.
Very, very powerful.
What's Kim saying there?
Here.
I told him. It was awesome.
Okay, you were saying something and laughing in the background.
Oh, I was laughing because I said what I had said before. Josh and I got all the ministry tonight.
Oh, good, good.
Hey, I don't know how church was for anyone else, but it was great for us.
Well, that's great.
The spirit of prophecy.
Yeah, I talked to Marsh
for
a minute.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, spirit of prophecy. Yeah, I talked to Marsh for a minute. She said, yep, we prophesied, we healed people, and then they said, got sent on their way.
Yes. We were being the church. Right?
Amen.
We'll be in the church.
Exactly. Exactly. That is awesome. Well, life is good. Life is good, and you know, we pray for every person on the phone and every couple, every household representative to get a breakthrough totally.
Amen.
To where just they're beginning to enjoy life, you know, enjoy life every day and you know, enjoy the abundant life that Jesus came to give us and my lands and you know, a starting place on that is that the Spirit of Christ is a passion for marriage because he had a passion for his bride. That is good, Josh. That is really good. That is really, really good. You know, somebody once challenged us and they said, you know, all this emphasis on marriage, I don't see that. Jesus went around emphasizing marriage. His whole ministry was to get a bride. His whole life was here to get a bride. I mean, this is beyond... You know, well, Jesus didn't say that much about marriage. His whole reason to be here was to get a bride.
Turn to Isaiah 61.
That is good, Josh.
Okay.
Wow.
Am I muted or unmuted?
I'm hearing you now. Just hearing you quiet.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm unmuted. We had also noticed the bridegroom in Isaiah 61 here. And let me read it here. What verse is it, sweetheart? It's Isaiah 61, verse 7.
You take it right now. I'm going to be it.
As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, it says, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. All right, so the lead up to this is salvation, garments of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
The crown.
Mm-hmm.
Garland meaning crown. So, you know, Isaiah in these prophetic words, as he's talking about being clothed with the garment salvation, you put on the crown, the garland of a bridegroom, and the jewels of a bride.
Nice.
That's what salvation. That's how he prophetically talks about salvation.
Nice.
In the context of marriage.
What
if you guys want to check that out, it's Isaiah 61, verse 10 and 11.
That is nice. That is excellent. I like it. I like it, Josh. I like it. And, you know, I think there's a whole theological, a bunch of things like this in the Word that we've never even paid much attention to.
We haven't even begun to tap into it. And, you know, I really am a firm believer, Joel, that within the marriage relationship, that exclusive relationship, is contained all the mysteries of salvation.
Well, they are. That's what Paul said. Paul, you know, I'm describing the mystery of Christ, you know. He's saying, you know, it's a mystery, and it's, you know, but it is the mystery of Christ, and it's contained within the mystery of marriage.
I'm finding out that if, you know, as I lay down my life for my wife, and as I day by day give more and more of my heart to loving her, the Lord keeps pouring out more grace, more favor, more revelation, more deliverance, more freedom, more liberty.
Absolutely.
I mean, every single area of my life, God is blessing.
Absolutely.
Simply through loving my wife, simply through doing marriage God's way, I am beginning to be set free in every single area of my life. And it's just like salvation is just like, what I'm saying is marriage is a picture of salvation.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And, I mean, if everybody listening, I mean, Josh, what you're describing is what we've been trying to get people to understand for, you know, that's what we teach, and try to get people to understand is that everything is wrapped up. All of our dysfunctions as men, we get healed of it. We get our relationship with Christ, which is so wrapped up in works and bondage and religious stuff, it all gets healed. It all starts to fall away. All the junk starts to disappear. And we start to just see, you know, really experience, you know, Christ, experience God, experience reality for who God is and for who Christ is. And it's just exactly what you're saying. Everything we get, it's better. We get free. We walk in freedom. We don't walk around in all the, you know, for those of us that grew up under the, you know, I'm going to work and earn my brownie points for God, you know, we get out from under that. We get free of all that works mentality of, you know, if I just perform for God enough, I'm going to get brownie points, you know. And we start to, it's amazing. It is. What you're describing is what, you know, I've been living for a long time and trying to communicate. You know, a man becomes the man God's called him to be. As he becomes a husband, his wife needs him to be. And, you know, you just forget about chasing after all these other things and chase after your bride. Go ahead.
Everything, you know, the fulfillment and the longing of a man's heart and spirit comes after he lays down his life for another. And the person that God is calling a man to lay down his life for is his wife.
Yep.
You know, that's the one specific person that God says for each man to lay down, completely lay down and hand over his life to is his wife.
Exactly.
And when a man refuses to do that, he's not only robbing his wife, he's robbing himself of every good thing that God longs to give him. I mean, what he's doing is he's tying God's hand. God has all the riches and treasures of salvation that in his hands that he's longing to give a man. And when a man refuses to love his wife, to agape love her, he's tying God's hands and there's his salvation and all the fullness of it, all the fullness of salvation that God longs to give the man because he's refusing to lay down his life for his wife, who is his own flesh. He's just robbing himself.
He is. He is, 100%. You're experiencing it, and every other man that's laying his life down and is loving his wife and is experiencing it, and every man on this line can experience that thing. If you just click into it, you're clicking into it more and more, Josh, and it's awesome, man.
I know.
Welcome,
you know,
go ahead.
You hear these knuckleheads saying, I'm not going to do this, you know, and I'm like, and I think to myself, you poor guy, you don't realize you're just robbing yourself.
Exactly. It's like this glorious world, this wonderful world exists here of, you know, just pure joy. And it exists here. It's like, come on over. Just jump over. The water's good, man. The water's good.
And you know, when you lay down your life for your wife, this is what Jesus Christ, the Lord, says about you. You have no greater love. Because he said, no greater love has a man than this, than he lay down his life for another. you know, the new commandment that God the Son gives is that you love one another. He says, this is my new commandment to you. And then he goes a step further, and he says, speaking of love being the new commandment, there's no greater love. The ultimate love is when you lay down your life for another. So when you are laying down your life for your wife, you are not only filling the great and new commandment of the new covenant, you are also supersedingly, exceedingly above and beyond fulfilling that commandment by laying down your life, because Christ said there is no greater love than that. You are doing the ultimate. And what you are doing is you are opening the portals of heaven, the windows of heaven, so that God can just pour into you, man. Because you are obeying the great commandment exceedingly abundantly, the highest form of it. Because Jesus said there is no greater love than this. And to obey that, man, you're in for a blessing from the Almighty. He will bless you. He'll be your rear guard. He'll go before you. He'll protect you and guard you in all your ways. He will prosper you. He will strengthen you. He'll pour his honor and favor upon you. It's nothing but blessing. When you lay down your life for your wife, that is honorable. That's true manhood. That's being a real son of God, because when you do that, you are being like God's only begotten son who laid down his life for us. You are being exactly like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what he did, and we're to follow in his footsteps. It's just all good. I mean, there's awesome. Almost no words to put to it.
Yeah, it's like screaming from the rooftops, shouting from the rooftops, man. It's like, how do we explain this? Like, you know, it's like Paul said, I speak of Christ in the church, and it's a mystery. And it's an exciting mystery, though. It's an exciting, wonderful thing. It's easy, and it's right there, and it's in the grasp of every person who just steps into it. Forget about all my ego and pride. Forget about all that old stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to lay my life down. I say, I'm going to do the greatest commandment in the greatest way possible, which is no greater love than to lay his life down. Absolutely.
And if these men would think about the day of the Lord, when they're going to be called to present their wives to the Lord, the crown that will be waiting for them. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. When you present your wife to the Lord, because he said, you know, it says it right there in Ephesians chapter 5. Christ will present his bride, and we will present ours. I want a crown from God. Of course, I'll give it right back to him, but I don't want the Lord to be disappointed, and I don't want to be disappointed on the great day.
Amen. Our wife is our crown. Haha. Interesting.
I see that. I caught that.
Yeah, wife is our crown in Proverbs. And we're going to receive crowns, and we're going to present our bride just like Jesus is presenting his bride. We present our bride without spot or blemish. Without spot or blemish, because she is so clean, cleansed by the washing of the water of the love that we show her, because we show her no greater love that could possibly be shown that we lay our life down for her. Hallelujah. Did we lose you, Josh?
Oh, no. We're on these Bible Bible study tools on the laptop, going over, you know, to present, and I mean all these things, and the Word of God is so deep. You know, we're only on the surface. The deeper you go into the Word, the more, you know, richer. It's just incredible.
Absolutely. And, you know, there is, I mean, this line of thinking that we're tapping into is, there's a lot more there. There's a lot more there. And
a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, this is awesome. Somebody needs to volunteer to take just this little talk that we've Josh and I have been going back and forth about here, and type it out for us. So if anybody's listening and you don't have a job and you got time, then we'll get you the recording and you can type out these things and just transcribe them, you know, word for word. We can edit them out and organize them and rearrange them and add stuff to them. And if anybody wants to do that, just let us know. Send us an email. This is I smell another book, you know.
I think that, you know, as the Spirit of the Lord, you know, begins to reveal the word, the depth of his word about marriage. I mean, I don't think the world is big enough to be able to contain the books that could be written.
No, absolutely. And this is I mean, it's a vein. It's a vein. It's a river of the Spirit, man.
Mm-hmm.
The vein is a river of the Spirit here. That's just can just go and go and go. Awesome. Well, Sir Josh, I better let you get some sleep. If you can get some sleep after that, you know, your wife probably wants to jump your bones, you know?
Did you hear that? She hurt. Okay.
I know you have an OE change right now.
I'm trying lately not to embarrass her.
Okay. Just leave it up to me. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I don't think there's more of a turn on for a wife than to hear her husband talking about, you know, laying his life down for her and, you know, and loving her, and no greater love than a man has than to lay his life down for his wife. I mean, that's got to make a wife's heart just sing, man. Tell you what.
Yes. You know, and awesome. even in the beginning stages where, you know, where the two of you are just beginning your journey in marriage restoration, doing it God's way, in the beginning when she is so emotionally depleted and so hurting and the man is so immature, when he's taking those first steps and the light's going on in his eyes and he's starting to get it and he's really struggling and pushing through, pushing past his resistance, even though he's just in the beginning stages, it's so endearing and exciting and encouraging to his wife to see him want to struggle and fight for her. You know, he may not be mature yet, he may not be doing it perfect yet, but when she sees him, a determination to fight for her, to pursue her, and to say, you know what, I am going to be a good husband. I have a lot to learn. I'm just beginning my journey. But I'm going to struggle and fight to learn how to lay down my life and become Christ-like for her. When she feels greatly loved just by the fact that he's wanting to get into this fight. So, you know, you don't have to arrive. All you have to do is begin. Get started.
Begin. Yep, that's it. Struggle through, push through. Defeat some lions, some bears, and grow through the struggle. And absolutely, that's awesome. Amen. Very well said.
I remember, you know, in the very beginning of this process, Joel, when Kim was just teaching me God's truth about marriage, and I was just learning, you know, the fundamental things, and I was struggling. I remember that, you know, I would begin to react to something or have a childish thought or word that I would, or careless word I would say, and she would point it out to me. And I would think about it for a moment. I'd look up into the air and I'd think about it for a moment, and then I would struggle to make the change and do the thing that she needed me to do.
Mm-hmm.
She's told me often, just the fact that she could stand there and watch me get what she was telling me and then adapt and make a change, that just brought strength to her. She said, there's my husband who's fighting and working to grow and change and mature so he can love
right
me.
Right before my eyes.
Right before my eyes, huh? Yep, that's it.
Nice. Do you remember any feelings like that, Kathy? recognition of that? Oh, okay. Kathy's having a hard time hearing on her phone there. He's saying that Kimberly has said to him that in their days of beginning, when she would tell him things and she would see him struggle, he'd just kind of look up and think about it and try to make the changes and adapt to what she was saying and make the changes in himself that he needed to make, that just the fact that she could stand there and see him, hearing what she's saying, see him struggling to accept it, see him accepting it and making the changes and adapting to what she said, that just, how did you say that, Josh? She just
brought strength to her.
Say again?
It brought strength to her.
It brought strength to her, just seeing him do that. And, yeah, Cass said, absolutely. And, yeah, that's cool. It's got to be a neat experience for a wife to do that, to be able to say something to her husband and see him go through that struggle and make those changes. As long as we're making the changes, not one of these guys that, yeah, I hear what you say. I don't think I agree with it, though. That's going to be so unattractive to a wife. I mean, that's just going to make a wife barf, man. I mean, just
That is for sure.
Yeah.
That is for awesome. Sure.
Well, you know what this is, Josh? This is deep calls to deep. And, you know, the spirit in you, in Kimberly, and the spirit in me and in Kathy, you know, we're calling out to these other couples. We're calling out to these other men. We're saying deep calls to deep. And both the husbands and the wives, that, you know, come to where we are, you know, get to this place, live this life. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful life. And,